I want to teach today, and it's the first part of a couple of weeks series, Matthew 6. We're just going to look at a couple of verses. The teaching today is entitled The Supernatural Benefits of Fasting. Part 1. I want to start a series on fasting. I haven't taught on fasting in a while. And the Holy Spirit, through a series of events, is moving in this direction to want to train us, encourage us to put this discipline in our life. And I want to show you something here, Matthew 6:16. Do you know this is not an optional discipline for your life? Listen to this. Jesus said, moreover, when you fast. Is that how your versions read? Yours says if? What does it say? When? What does that mean? It's all right. He goes on to say, don't be as the hypocrites. Don't go doll yourself. No, don't go walking around, oh, poor me. You're making a big deal about it. He says, look, in verse 18, for your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Do you know there's a great reward for those who fast? Jesus spoke about the Pharisees. Remember the Pharisees said, I fast twice in a week. He was speaking against an attitude of boasting. But there is a reward. In fact, let me tell you something about that word reward there in the Greek in verse 18. The word literally means revealed or where a light shines on you. Is that cool? The reward in the Greek, phaneros, means a light is shining to reveal. I believe when you fast, you enter into a realm where there's greater light in the spirit. Okay? There's greater light. It's something about power of fasting and slows down your metabolism, slows down a lot of the functions of the, and opens and sharpens the spiritual. I think there are natural senses and spiritual senses. You know, the natural senses, what? Touch, taste, smell, hearing, these things. Well, you know, when we begin to fast, we're denying the natural, and actually, ironically, the spiritual senses sharpen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Hear the voice of the Lord. Your eyes open, the eyes of our understanding. And so look at verse chapter 9, verse 14. In fact, Jesus even implied that when the church is born, the church would fast. Chapter 9, 14, there came to disciples of John, why do we and the Pharisees fast often and your disciples fast not? Now look at this. John the Baptist's disciples came to Jesus and they said, Lord, we don't understand this new movement you're starting. The Pharisees fast twice in a week. We know it because they remind us all the time. And the disciples of John fast. We don't see you fasting, Jesus. You know, when Jesus walked around, apparently he wasn't fasting much. He'd done his 40 days to start out, okay? But he was always eating. Remember he would eat with sinners? He was eating and drinking, and they call him a wine bibber and a glutton. And so, look what he says. Look at his response. Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom's with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and then what? And then what? They shall fast. You know what he's talking about? When Jesus goes up into heaven, releases the Holy Spirit to the church, guess what? Fasting will be instituted as an ordinance of the church. And we see that in the book of Acts. We'll be looking at that among other. In fact, you turn there now, Acts 13. Fasting was inducted as an ordinance of walking in the Spirit. One of the things I want to talk about in these weeks to come, today and the weeks to come, is the supernatural benefits of fasting. Talk a little bit about fasting. There's different kinds of fasts. And I really think fasting is one of the greatest back pocket things we have. You know, when you get jammed up, slammed up, bottled up, blocked up, walled up, you can always fast your way out of it. Hello? When the enemy's got you bound up and wound up, you can fast your way out of it. There's something about fasting breaks the yoke. It smashes through all of the soulish and liberates you into the spirit where there's light and revelation and understanding and direction. Acts 13:1. There were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. That's Paul. And as they ministered the Lord and what? Hello, you with me? Acts 4:13-2. as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work I've called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed to Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Now, one of the first things I want to show you provides clear direction from the Holy Spirit. I want you to see, I'm going to show you three supernatural benefits of fasting today. The first is clear direction. These guys, they wanted to go do something for the Lord. So I want you to notice in verse 2 of Acts 13, they ministered to the Lord and they fasted. Do you notice they ministered to the Lord and then he spoke to them how they would minister to others? What I want to share is most people have it the backwards. Okay? They ministered to the Lord and then he told them how they were to minister to others. A lot of people will go and have a plan and then they'll ask the Lord to bless it. You know, they'll have some outreach or something. They'll minister to others and then they ask the Lord, you know, that is, he says, if your first ministry is to the Lord. That speaks to me. They had praise, they had worship, and they fasted. There's something about fasting. You minister to the Lord. You're taking, you know, fasting is, let's say it is real crucifixion. You know the scripture about crucified, be crucified with Christ? I'm crucified, y'all remember that term? Hello? Cross, crucify. Y'all know the verse, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live it, not I, but Christ liveth in me, the life of which I now live by the faith. I live by the Son of God. Some of y'all can quote that. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections that, come on, aren't those your favorite verses? Those are the ones that are preached in all the prosperity churches. Thanks be to God, by where the world is crucified to me, and I am to the world. No, unfortunately, these are not preached in a lot of churches. But you know, it's the key to everything. You know, those are just words until you put meat on the bones. You know how you flesh that out? Fasting. Fasting makes crucifixion real. Fasting brings death real. Fasting is killing, taking authority over an unruly flesh. How many of y'all got unruly flesh? Look, if you're alive and breathing, you got unruly flesh. Work with me here. Come on. How many of you got unruly flesh? Left to its own, what's it going to do? It's going to rule. Your flesh, your emotions, your soul's going to rule. That's if you, you will default to your flesh running your life. You've got to do something to keep it. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, I keep my body under subjection. And he says, I bring it into subjection. Lest when I preach to others, I myself should be cast away. Paul says, literally, the Greek is, I treat my body with severity and bring it into humiliation. He recognized his body could drive him away from the Lord. That's why in Romans 12, he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. He doesn't say present your hearts. Present your spirit. He says your bodies. You can do something with your body. Present it as a living sacrifice. How? One way is deny it. Deny the right. Take charge. Be men of the Spirit. But when you walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of what? So something that Paul says in Galatians 5, there's a battle going on. The Spirit is wrestling with, there's a war. Every day there's a war. And if you give in to the flesh, then you open the door to the demonic. See, the demons are not our problems. The demons are a symptom of the real problem, which we're walking in the flesh. We're walking lazy, undisciplined, and we live a kind of a boring, struggling, frustrated, haphazard Christian life. I said that before. Demons are like flies on your garbage. You know? We have a pantry we keep our garbage can in, and once in a while, you open a pantry, and all these little, it's not really flies, they're like gnats or something. It's gross, and they're all around the garbage can, because there's some old fruit or something and our faithful trash man has not emptied it recently for some reason. And so what we do is we go get what we've learned when the garbage is really full and stinky, it's got gnats. We go get Lysol and spray and kill all the gnats so we can have the garbage but not the gnats. Doesn't that make sense? We want to keep the garbage, we just don't want the gnats, right? So we spray the garbage with lots of Lysol and leave the gnats on, but we can have the garbage. You know, that's why a lot of people are, well, you get the demons out of me. I hate demons. I don't want to give up my sin, but I want the demons gone, right? That's as silly as what I just said. So how do you get rid of the gnats? What do you have to do? Take the garbage out. You know, when you finally empty the garbage, and you deal with the sin and the flesh and the passivity and the laziness and the presumption and the all of this junk in your life, when you deal with it, demons have nowhere to hook. They have nowhere to come. Gnats do not cluster around a clean, Lysol-scrubbed garbage can. Amen? They don't come. Demons do not cluster around a clean, blood-washed, repentant, broken, walking with Jesus soul. Demons, you don't have demon problems. Most demon problems are error and dick. In fact, demons are good. Demons are good in one sense because they show us when we're in the flesh. Hello? Well, you're being attacked by demons. That's your weakness. That's the area that you have. That's where you got to tighten up and gird on your armor. Amen? Work with me here. Now, don't quote that out of context when I said demons are good. You know what I meant by that at that point. Okay, they're bad. Demons are bad. Let's make that clear. But it's good sometimes you're attacked because it shows you, oh, because those gnats sometimes, we may be lazy, or certain ones of us may be lazy about emptying the garbage can. But the gnats make it, we got to empty that sucker now, right? We don't want those things in our food. All right. I think I've stretched that analogy long enough. I want you to see something here. Look at this. When they fasted, they got a specific word. Do you see that? When they fasted, he said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul," and he told them where to go. When they fasted, he gave them a specific word. Now, I found when I fast, I can get clear words from the Lord. Clear. The fuzz goes. The smog goes. It's clear. It's a quickened clarity in the spirit. And when you have a disciplined regimen of fasting, the voice of the Lord becomes clear. Because most of the misery in our life is because we listen to demons. We listen to rejection. We listen to unbelief. We listen to fear, anxiety. We listen to all these voices. Satan's always throwing, coming and nickel and dime lies your way. And you know, we get, you know, after a while, it's like fighting off gnats. But there's something about fasting. It clears the air and you can hear the voice of the light. It's like a light from heaven shines in you. And you go, oh, okay. And suddenly, yeah, I got the authority, the light, the fire. You blast demons and you're fine. You're walking, overcoming. You have a joyous life. Look at another one, chapter 14, 21. If you will. This is interesting. They're traveling on their missionary journey, these two. And when they preached the gospel to that city, taught many, they returned again to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue the faith. We must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed, how? They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. They prayed with fasting. Now, I want you to see something. Here's another example how fasting helps you discern a person's character. Listen carefully. These guys were going from church to church to church. One of the ways you discern a person's character to set them into eldership, would you agree with me as it takes time? Would you agree it takes time to discern whether a person is a bona fide character or not? Hello? I mean, everybody put up a facade for a while, but you get to know them long enough, the real person is going to come out. But these guys they didn't have time. They couldn't sit in each church for 6 months, a year, year and a half, see elders raised up, point them, go to another church. They were on an apostolic missionary journey. So what they had to do, they had to get a word from the Holy Ghost. They had to get a quickening word from the Holy Spirit to quicken to them character, to set people. Does this make sense? They had to immediately know who to set in as leaders of these early burgeoning churches. So what they did, they didn't have the time. They needed supernatural guidance. And so there's another thing. Spiritual fasting, supernatural fasting will help you discern a person's character. How many of y'all think you could have used that kind of discernment at some point in your life? To discern someone's character? Did you ever make a character flaw, a character mistake in trusting someone? Hello? In submitting to someone, maybe in marrying someone? You didn't discern their character? You know, the problem with a lot of these relationships is folks run in out of, you know, what they say, love is blind. And it really is. They get emotionally caught up in the romantic thing. And a lot of it's just self-focused infatuation. But how many of y'all know that doesn't last? What ultimately lasts is character. Can you hear me, man? And a lot of times people get in these relationships and they can't see the character, and everybody around can see it, and they go, for crying out loud, this person's wrong for you. And you just don't want to listen to anybody, and you rush in that relationship, and they end up being what? Like one woman said, I've had two husbands. One of them was a beater, and the other was a cheater. Right? And she wasn't married, and she was fixing to, she was dating someone, and I remember telling her, well, I think you really ought to wait, slow down a little bit. If you had a beater and a cheater, maybe you'll have a winner if you slow down. Amen? And have other people discern. By the way, it's really good that if someone's in a dating relationship, that they have authorities discern. And guess who's really good at discerning? Mom and dad. I don't care if they're not saved. I don't care if they're saved or not. Mom and dad have this built-in radar that comes with being mom and dad that can best discern whether you've got, can I imagine, whether they're saved or not. It's just part of parenting. God puts in a mom and dad, that's a good person, that's not a good person. But how many kids don't want to listen to mom and dad? They blow them up. What do they know? They just don't want me to be happy. You know, and then years later, you know, they regret. Or they become mom and dad. And then they remember. So fasting will help you discern. And another reason is few things are as dangerous in church as leadership without anointing. How many churches there are? People put over people that, you know, shepherds that don't love their sheep. Jesus talked about that in John 10. They flee when the wolf comes. Putting someone in authority over someone that doesn't have a heart for the sheep, doesn't have a compassion, doesn't have a passion for the sheep. Very, very dangerous. In the early years of this church, I was really eager to grow and, you know, expand, and you can see how successful I've been. And I would appoint people to this and that leadership position and da la this, you know, and didn't quite want to wait for the wine to, you know, I remember that old commercial years ago, we don't never serve wine before it's time. Well, I would just put people in leadership. And there's a couple of times I got burned bad. I had one lady who was a koinonia leader, and it got to the point they were literally, and when they had their koinonia groups, they would commiserate about the pastor with their koinonia leader. Like a little witchcraft coven in my own church. Come together. It was pretty bad. And, you know, but it was all smiles and nice, but I heard this stuff later, and it was sicko. And there was a lot of dynamic. But the bottom line was that individual, she was a hurt woman. It wasn't a malicious thing. I think it was as a result of hurt. It wasn't malicious, but it was occurring nevertheless. But you know what I realized later? Hello, she didn't need to be a leader. I was not discerning character. I was thinking, well, she can walk, chew gum. You know, here's some sheep. And guess what? All of the sheep under, guess what? They're all gone too. That happens. Well, the last place we're going to look is Judges 20. We're just looking at three places today. Hang on. Judges 20. We've looked at, first, these are supernatural benefits of fasting. The first is provides clear direction from the Holy Ghost. Second, it helps you discern a person's character. Judges chapter 20, if I can find Judges. Where's Judges? You know, if anybody tells you, judge not, you can tell them, look, there's a whole book on it. Okay. Judges 20, verse 26. You there? Now, this is a terrible time. Let me go to the context. Israel was battling the tribe of Benjamin. This was really an awful time. This was a... I don't want to go to the context, but Benjamin had been wayward, and Israel was having to come in and fight one of its own tribes. Okay? So, chapter 20, verse 26. Then all the children of Israel and all the people came to the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until even and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And the children of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the Ark of the Covenant was there in those days. And verse 28, and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days, saying, shall I yet again go against my brother, battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother, or shall I cease? And the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into thy hand. Now I want you to see carefully a protocol. If you want to hear from God, here's the protocol. The first, they came, they sat before the Lord, they fasted, they offered up praise, They inquired and God spoke. There it is. That's the protocol. They came. There was a need. They came. They sat before the Lord in humility. They fasted before the Lord. They inquired of the Lord from the context of a fast, and God spoke something very specific to them. So go ahead. Here's the third reason. Fasting enables you to hear God quickly and distinctly. You know, fasting will help get God's full weight and attention on a matter. When you fast, I don't understand what it is, but God, you get his attention. I'm going to tell you one of the greatest examples is the worst king of the Old Testament. Tell me, who is the worst? Ahab. Y'all have heard me say this. Preaching the same crowd. The worst king. And he was more evil than any of the other kings. And yet we're told in 1 Kings that when he came to the Lord and humbled himself and chastened his soul before the Lord in fasting and prayer, guess what? The Lord said, okay, well, I'll avert judgment in his days. It'll come upon his son's days. I mean, he humbled himself before the Lord in prayer and fasting, and God said, okay, all right, you got me. I'll avert judgment. I'm telling you, fasting gets the attention of God. And you know what I found? Satan will throw everything in the kitchen sink at you if you start to fast. Particularly if you make a commitment to fast. I mean, all hell will move. Satan knows. In fact, I'm telling you, Satanists, people that are really into witchcraft, understand fasting. Recently, I was listening to David Hogan. I'm learning more from David Hogan's CDs than I ever learned from the years with Norman. Norman's told me some fascinating stories in Central and South America. But some of these stories, maybe I bet you he's got me, just never spent time hearing them. He says some of the reason those black magic warlocks in Mexico and Guatemala have the power they have. They have an incredible power. Some of these warlocks, they will control whole villages. And you say, where's that? You know, that's very biblical. Did you know in the Bible in Acts 7, Philip came into a town that was controlled by a witch doctor named what? Simon? He controlled the village. And he came in with the gospel of signs and wonders and took the village from this guy. This guy was bitter. Well, this was the way these black magic warlocks obtain the power they have to control a village is they access a demonic anointing. And do you know how they do it? They will go into a cave and seal it off and sit in the darkness in a cave with nothing but water for a month to 6 weeks until Satan appears before them, a demon appears before them. They will sit in darkness, fasting and praying, waiting for a demon to come. And when the demon comes, it will tell them, you need to go do this and bring in an offering. They'll go out and get some beast. They'll come and bring and they will drink blood with the demon. They will covenant with the demon on the shed blood. This is what they do. Now, it's interesting. We see the Abraham with the shed blood. Remember, between God and Abraham, and the lamp went between the parts of so the demon would demand blood. Sometimes human sacrifice. Depends on the level of the power of the demonic, the black magic warlock was. But they literally would fast for a month or 6 weeks to get a demon to appear, and the thing appears physically to them. And then they will be covenant with it, and it'll give them power, and they to go out there with their power, and they take over. I mean, they just rule. They intimidate. They operate in witchcraft. This is real. Of course, none of that happens here in America, right? We don't have those things here. But what fascinates me is that they obtain the power how? By fasting. And one thing that David Hogan said is, look, if we think we can defeat those guys and not fast, we're kidding ourselves. Because if they're obtaining their power through fasting, we have to likewise deny ourselves to obtain the power of the Lord. Does that make sense, guys? Hello? This is real stuff. We don't encounter this level of darkness and witchcraft here in the States. Thank the Lord. We don't have that. But you know what? I really believe we're moving to it. With this New Age movement, the occult, where our culture is moving, I think the day will come. We will see that level of the deep things of Satan manifesting. And I think it's already occurring in certain parts of the country. These areas that are completely inundated by the homosexuals and perverts and the Antichrist. Literally, there is powerful spirit. And so it's beginning to occur. Right here in the good old Pasadena. This yoga. Yoga's innocent. Seemingly so. But it's a doorway into deep, dark things. One Canary Man. Bo's written an excellent booklet on that. And people that really pursue darkness, Satan will lead them into these places where they can acquire power, where folks, humans can turn into animals or disappear. I mean, there's all kinds of supernatural things. They can do anything, almost anything other than create. Did you know that a witch doctor can take a stick and throw it in the ground and becomes a snake? They can change things, metamorphize things, transmigrate, migrate things. Yeah. You see that? Remember the magicians under Pharaoh? What did they do? They were in the deep things of Satan. But there's one thing they couldn't do. When Moses struck the dust and it turned into lice, the Egyptians said, "This is the finger of God." They cannot create. Amen? They cannot create. They're not endued with the power of the Creator. Praise God. So we have a greater power, but we've got to learn. We're doing battle with principalities and powers of darkness. And this church has been a focus for a long time of these powers, and I'm determined. One of the things I think the Holy Ghost is leading into these days is we're going to have to dig down. We were under siege last year. Now we got to dig down and fight back. I'm tired of being under siege. We're going to fight back. Amen? Y'all with me? Praise God. So the last thing is enables you to hear God quickly and distinctly. Like I said, fasting magnifies the appetite. Well, your appetite and desires decline, and it magnifies the things of the Spirit. And as a result, you quiet down. You can hear his voice clearer. Fasting will raise your faith level to hear his definite, specific words. In fact, I really believe, folks, honestly, that before any major decision, you ought to fast. Okay? Seriously. If you really want to know, am I in the will of the Lord? Any major decision. Because he'll give you specific guidance. Like a new job. Or a large purchase. Buying a house. Buying a car, taking on a loan, medical procedures, relational issues. You ought to fast. Fast and pray. Get the mind of the heart of the Lord. You know, I know we just had a couple of day fasting recently, and different ones, Jenny, you and a couple others were telling me about some of their physiological problems of that. It was just a 2-day fast. And some people are having a real struggle with it. Can I be honest with you? Can I be really honest with you? We, and I am speaking, I'm pointing four fingers to myself and one thumb to you. Okay. We are wimps. Okay, notice four fingers are here, so don't take offense. We, in the plural sense, we are wimps when it comes to eating and fasting. Can you understand? We're wimps. And God wants us to be something other than a wimp. You know, there's nothing wrong at all with denying your body. In fact, I'm going to be honest with you. I've studied a lot about fasting over the years. I've written a lot about it, taught a lot about it. Even in the secular world, it is a very healthy thing to do. Let me tell you some secret. Most of the time when you go to the doctor, most of the time when you go to the physician for a lot of things you do, the good recommended and better solution the doctor ought to be giving you is to fast. But they won't do that in the medical profession in our culture. What they want to do is tell you to ingest something, pills or drugs. They won't dare tell people to fast because that person won't go to that doctor anymore. They make their money through drugs. Hello? A lot of our ills can be taken care of by changing our diet. You know what I mean? But you start telling them, well, you can't eat potato chips, you need to stop all the junk, you need to get, more healthy diet. You start, can you imagine a doctor telling his client, his patient after patient that? All of a sudden, his clientele will shrink. They just want a pill to take the pain away. That's how Americans, we're all wimps, To take a pill, I like eating chocolate cake every night and ice cream, but I get all these ulcers and all these, well, here's a pill. I like this, they have these fat burner pills. Seriously. Fat burner. You just eat the pill, it'll burn all the fat away. Just put, eat it with your cake. I like that. There was a thing on the web about all the fat, all the weight loss scams. Like this belt thing, people put these belt things on, and they have a battery, and it'll just vibrate away the fat. And people, they come out for a season, while they sell a million of them, a guy makes multi. Now, it doesn't work. You're sitting there on the couch eating a potato chips with your belt fat thing going. is, I mean, you're putting potato chips in your bar. It's gone away. Get bull. We're wimps, folks. How many of y'all want to see the power of Jesus? Power of God. We have to pay the price. So that's what I wanted to start a series on. Go over it just slowly. Look at the different options of fasting. And to charge us to consider. Here's the thing. In the past when I've taught on fasting, over many years, and I'll be doing more of this, and I've written a booklet out there. You can pick it up. Different types of fasts. The one-day fast, the three-day fast, one-day fast of nothing but water puts teeth in your repentance. Lord, nothing but water will touch my mouth for 24 hours. I repent. Well, that'll put teeth in your repentance. Oh, I'm sorry I sinned again, Lord. Knowing the whole way you're going to do it again. Hey, just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I will not, nothing but water. Do you know that won't kill you, by the way? To not drink nothing but water. You might get a headache if you have a lot of coffee, but eating will kill you. But what I'm really believing now, I'm something adding, is I really believe the key is a regimen of fasting. There's got to be a disciplined lifestyle of fasting. You've got to put it in your life. It's got to be just like brushing your teeth, like everything you do. You've got to have a time where you have a discipline of fasting, and you can walk in the Spirit. And one of the reasons is God's going to begin sending, He's already sending needy people that are hurt, that are demonized, and that are infirm. We had a lady here Friday. We fasted for her. For all intents and purposes, what she has is incurable. And has to take morphine every day just to stave the pain. Nice lady. You wouldn't know it. But that's the case. Very mistreated by the medical profession. That's where she's ended up. And I have a heart for her. And I grieve for her. And I talked to her and I said, we will do what we can to help you. Like I said, there's some other situations coming up. Preacher's wife I heard about, so a brain tumor's come back. And you know, when these things come, I realize, well, listen, I understand you have this need. It's Tuesday. When you come back Friday, I'll fast till Friday, then I'll be ready to pray for you. There's something wrong there, amen? So sometimes we all got to get a discipline of fasting so we're always ready. So when someone comes with a need, we can pray and they can be healed. Wouldn't that be fine, folks, to see people healed of these incurable diseases? Well, I think it can happen. There's no reason it couldn't. We're just going to have to pay the price. Let's all stand. Lord Jesus, I pray for us all. And again, I'm pointing four fingers to myself. Lord, bring your conviction. Lord, help us be delivered from the wimpness of America. Our wimp culture that wants it both ways. We want power and we want ice cream. Nothing wrong with ice cream, but we want sweets. We want food at our call at any time. No, Lord, help us to take your yoke upon us, Lord, and to learn of you. To deny ourselves and take up our cross, Jesus. Lord, I ask you to forgive us, myself included. Presuming on you, assuming that we can acquire the power of the supernatural. Lord, without paying the price of the cross. I pray for the Holy Ghost conviction in our life, Lord. And you'll begin to speak to different ones, even if you've been speaking to me. You'll speak to different ones in the body. And it'll be you. It won't be law. It won't be legalism. Because law and legalism doesn't work. Ultimately, we just blow it off, go back to the ways of the flesh. It's got to be the heart of the Lord. The conviction, the exciting revelation of a new, an elevated, promoted walk with Jesus, a greater joy, a greater power, a deliverance from misery, a deliverance from boredom, and a power we've never known. Lord, I pray that you would begin speaking to different hearts. Be right from the Holy Ghost to each one of us. Y'all say this after me. Jesus, I'm open. Speak to my heart. Challenge me to the level of faith I have to get on the cross in these areas. I know you love me. You don't want to bind me under law, but you want to challenge me to follow you in greater consecration to experience greater release of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Now, if you mean that, God will speak to you, folks, and you obey Him. I'm just laying out the principles. You obey the Holy Ghost. Lord, I bless you, Lord. I thank you. I just pray a blessing over all of us, particularly those visiting the nursing home and the hospital today, Lord. I pray that you would just, there would be divine encounters, Lord. Hurting, needy people would be touched. Lord, words would be spoken that would uplift and heal and deliver. And everybody said,